have done if the dwarf had shaken his head. He landed in his chair so hard it rolled back a foot. He'd met deep-down dwarfs before. They'd been weird, but he'd been able to deal with them. The Low King was a deep-downer, and Vimes had got on with him well enough, once you accepted that the fairy-tale dwarf in the Hogfather beard was an astute politician. He was a dwarf with vision. He dealt with the world. He'd seen the light. But those in the new mine... he hadn't seen them, even though they were sitting in a room made brilliant with the light of hundreds of candles. That seemed odd, since the grags themselves were completely shrouded in their pointy black leather. But maybe it was some mystic ceremony, and who'd look for sense there? Maybe you got a lot more holy dark in the midst of light. The brighter the light, the blacker the shadow. Ardent had spoken in a language that sounded like dwarfish, and out of the dark hoods had come answers and questions, all barked out in the same harsh, brief syllables. At one point, Vimes was asked to repeat the meat of his statement made up above, which had seemed too far away now. He'd done so, and there'd been a long, drawn-out discussion in what he'd come to think of as deep dwarf. And all the time he felt that eyes he could not see were watching him very hard indeed. It didn't help that his head had been aching like mad, and there were shooting pains going up and down his arm. And that was it. Had they understood him? He didn't know. Ardent had said that they agreed with considerable reluctance. Had they? He hadn't a clue, not a clue, to what had really been said. Would Carrot be given access to a crime scene that had not been interfered with in any way? Vimes grunted. What do you think, boys and girls? He pinched the bridge of his nose, and then stared at his right hand. Igor had gone on at length about tiny, invisible, biting creatures, and used some vicious ointments that probably killed anything of any size or visibility. It had stung like seven hells for 5 minutes, but the sting had gone, and seemed to have taken the pain with it. Anyway, what mattered was that the watch was officially on this case. His eye was caught by the top sheet of paperwork in his in-tray. Vimes maintained 3 trays, in, out, and shake it all about. The last one was where he put everything he was too busy, angry, tired, or bewildered to do anything about. He groaned as he picked it up. 2. His Grace Sir Samuel Vimes, Commander of the Watch. From Mr. A. E. Pessimal, Inspector of the Watch. Your Grace, I hope you will not mind giving me as soon as possible the answers to the following questions. 1. What is Corporal Nobby Nobbs for? Why did you employ a known petty thief? 2. I timed 2 officers in Broadway earlier, and in the space of 1 hour they made no arrests. Why was this an economic use of their time? 3. The level of violence used by troll officers against troll prisoners appears excessive. Could you please comment upon this? And so on. Vimes read on with his mouth open. All right, the man wasn't a copper, definitely not, but surely he had a fully functional brain. Oh, good grief, he'd even spotted the monthly discrepancy in a petty cash box. Would A.E. Pessimal understand if Vimes explained that Nobby's services over the years more than made up for the casual petty theft, which you accepted as a kind of mild nuisance? Would that be an economic use of my time? I think not. As he put the paper back in the tray, he spotted a sheet underneath in Cheery's handwriting. He picked it up and read it. 2 dwarfs and 1 troll had handed in their badges this morning, citing family reasons. Damn, that was 7 officers lost this week. Bloody Coombe Valley, it got everywhere. Oh, it couldn't be fun, heavens knew, being a troll holding the line against a bunch of your fellow trolls and defending a dwarf like the late Ham Crusher. It probably wasn't any funnier being a dwarf hearing that some troll street gang beat up your brother because of what that idiot had said. Some people would be asking, whose side are you on? If you're not with us, you're against us. If you're not an apple, you're a banana. Carrot came in quietly and placed a plate on the desk. Angua told me all about it, he said. Well done, sir. What do you mean, well done? Said Vimes, looking at his healthy sandwich lunch. I nearly started a war. Ah, but they didn't know you were bluffing. I probably wasn't. Vimes carefully lifted the top of the bacon, lettuce and tomato sandwich and smiled inwardly. Good old Cheery. She knew what a Vimes BLT was all about. It was about having to lift up quite a lot of crispy bacon before you found the miserable, skulking vegetables. You might never notice them at all. I want you to take Angua down there with you again, he said, and Yes, Lance Constable von Humperding. Ah, little Sally, just the job for a vampire who fortuitously has arrived in the nick of time, eh? Let's see how good she is. Just those two, sir? Yes. They both have very good night vision, yes? Vimes looked down at his sandwich and mumbled, We can't take any artificial light down there. A murder investigation in the dark, sir? I had no choice, said Vimes hotly. I know a sticking point when I see one, Captain. No artificial light. Well, if they want to play silly buggers, I'm their boy. You know about mines, and both the ladies have got night vision built in. Well, the vampire has, and Angua can practically see with her nose, so that's it. Do the best you can. The place is full of those damn glow beetles. They should help. They've got worms, said Carrot. Oh, well, I know some tricks there, sir. Good. They say a big troll did it and ran away. Make of that what you will. There might be some protests about Sally, sir, said Carrot. Why? Will they spot she's a vampire? No, sir. I don't think they... Then don't tell 'em, said Vimes. You're the smelter. It's up to you what tools you use. Seen this? He waved the report about the three officers he was trying not to think of as deserters. Yes, sir. I was meaning to talk to you about that. It might help if we change the patrols a bit, said Carrot. How do you mean? It would be quite easy to arrange the patrol schedules so that trolls and dwarfs don't have to go on the beat together, sir. Some of the lads say they'd be a bit happier if we could... Carrot let the sentence die away in the stony glare. We've never paid any attention to an officer's species when we do the roster, Captain, said Vimes coldly, except for the gnomes, of course. There's your precedent, then, Carrot began. Don't be daft. A typical gnome room is about twice the size of a shoebox, Captain. Look, you can see this idea is nuts, dangerous nuts, too. We'd have to patrol troll with troll, dwarf with dwarf, and human with human. Not necessarily, sir. Humans could patrol with either of the others. Vimes rocked his chair forward. No, they couldn't. This is not about common sense. This is about fear. If a troll sees a dwarf and a human patrolling together, he'll think, there's the enemy, two against one. Can't you see where this is going? When a copper's in a tight corner and blows his whistle for backup, The shelf was full of garlic. Ah, it starts, and so soon, too. Just as well she'd been prepared. Here and there behind her she heard the faint coughs and throat clearings of people trying not to laugh. And there was smirking going on. A smirk makes a subtle noise if you're listening for it. She reached into the locker with both hands and pulled out two big fat bulbs. All eyes were on her. All coppers were motionless as she walked slowly around the room. The reek of garlic was strong on one young constable, whose big grin was suddenly caked with nervousness at the corners. He had the look about him of the kind of fool who'd do anything for a laugh. "Excuse me, constable, but what is your name?" she said meekly. "Fitley, miss." "Are these from you?" Sally demanded. She let her canines extend just enough to notice. "Only a joke, miss?" "Nothing funny about it," said Sally sweetly. "I like garlic. I love garlic. Don't you?" "Yeah," said the unhappy Fitley. "Good," said Sally. With a speed that made him flinch, she rammed a bulb into her mouth and bit down heavily. The crunching was the only sound in the locker room. And then she swallowed. "Oh, dear, where are my manners, constable?" she said, holding out the other bulb. "Oh, this one's yours." Laughter broke out around the room. Coppers are like any other mob. The table's been turned, and this way around it's funnier. It's a bit of a laugh, a bit of fun. No harm done, eh? "Come on, Fitley," said someone. "It's only fair. She ate hers." And someone else, as someone always does, began to clap and urge, "Eat, eat." Others took it up, encouraged by the fact that Fitley had gone bright red. "Eat, eat, 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 eat." A man without an option, Fitley grabbed a bulb, forced it into his mouth and bit it hard, to the accompaniment of cheers. A moment later, Sally saw his eyes widen. "Lance Constable von Humperding?" She turned. A young man of godlike proportions, the better class of gods anyway, not the ones with the tentacles, obviously, was standing in the doorway. Unlike the armour of the other officers, his breastplate shone and the chainmail was quite devoid of rust. "Everything all right?" the officer glanced at Fitley, who dropped to his knees and was coughing garlic across the room, but somehow quite failed to see him.
"'Er fine, sir,' said Sally, puzzled as Fitley began to throw up. "'We've met already. Everyone calls me Captain Carrot. Come with me, please.'
Out in the main office, Carrot stopped and turned.
"'All right, Lance Constable. You had a bulb already prepared, right? Don't look like that. There's a vegetable barrow out in the square today. It's not hard to work out.'
Sergeant Angua did warn me.
So?
So I carved a garlic out of a turnip, sir.
And the one you gave Fitley?
Oh, that was a carved turnip, too. I try not to touch garlic, sir, said Sally.
Oh, God, this one really was attractive.
Really? Turnip? He seemed to take it badly, said Carrot.
I put a few fresh chili seeds in it, Sally added. About 30, I think.
"'Oh, why did you do that?'
"'Oh, you know, sir,' said Sally, radiating innocence. "'A bit of a laugh, a bit of fun. No harm done, eh?'
The captain appeared to consider this.
"'We'll leave it at that, then,' he said. "'Now, Lance Constable, have you ever seen a dead body?'
Sally waited to see if he was serious. Apparently he was.
"'Strictly speaking, no, sir,' she said.
Vimes fretted through the afternoon. There was, of course, the paperwork. There was always the paperwork. The trays were only the start. Heaps of it were ranged accusingly along one wall and gently merging. Vimes had got round to a clean desk policy. It was a clean floor strategy that eluded him at the moment. He knew that he had to do it. Warrants, dockets, watch orders, signatures. That was what made the watch a police force rather than just a bunch of fairly rough fellows with inquisitive habits. Paperwork. You had to have lots of it, and it had to be signed by him. He signed the arrests book, the occurrences book, even the lost property book. Lost property book? They never had one of those in the old days. If someone turned up complaining that they'd lost some small item, you just held knobby knobs upside down and sorted through what dropped out. But he didn't know two-thirds of the coppers he employed now. Not know, in the sense of knowing when they'd stand and when they'd run, knowing the little giveaways that'd tell him when they were lying or scared witless. It wasn't really his watch anymore. It was the city's watch. He just ran it. He went through the station sergeant's reports, the watch officer's reports, the sick reports, the disciplinary reports, the petty cash reports. Daddle-dam, daddle-dam, daddle! Vimes slammed the gooseberry down on the desk and picked up the small loaf of dwarf bread that for the last few years he'd used as a paperweight. "'Switch off or die,' he growled.
"'Now, I can see you're slightly upset,' said the imp, looking up at the looming loaf. "'But could I ask you to look at things from my point of view? This is my job. This is what I am. I am, therefore I think. And I think we could get along famously if you would only read the manual. Please, no. I really could help you.'
Vimes hesitated in mid-thump and then carefully put down the loaf.
"'How?' he said. "'You've been adding up the numbers wrong,' said the imp. "'You don't always carry the tens.'
"'And how would you know that?' Vimes demanded.
"'You mutter to yourself,' said the imp.
"'You eavesdrop on me.
"'It's my job. I can't switch my ears off. "'I have to listen. That's how I know about the appointments.'
Vimes picked up the petty cash report and glanced at the messy columns of figures. He prided himself on what he had since infancy called sums. Yes, he knew he plodded a bit, but he got there in the end.
"'You think you could do better?' he said. "'Let me out and give me a pencil,' said the imp.
Vimes shrugged. It had been a strange day after all. He opened the little cage door. The imp was a very pale green and translucent, little more than a creature made out of coloured air, but it was able to grip the tiny pencil stub. It ran up and down the column of figures in the petty cash book, and, Vimes was pleased to hear, it muttered to itself.
"'It's out by $3.05,' it reported after a few seconds.
"'That's fine, then,' said Vimes.
"'But the money is not accounted for.'
"'Oh, yes, it is,' said Vimes. "'It was stolen by Knobby Knobs. It always is. He never steals more than $4.50.'
"'Would you like me to make an appointment for a disciplinary meeting?' said the imp, hopefully.
"'Of course not. I'm signing it off now. Thank you.
"'Can you add up the other dockets?'
the imp beamed.
"'Absolutely.'
Vimes left the imp scribbling happily and walked over to the window. "'They don't acknowledge our law, and they undermine our city.
That's not just a bunch of deep-downers here to keep their fellow dwarfs on the straight seam. How far do those tunnels go? Dwarfs dig like crazy, but why here? What are they looking for? As sure as any hell you choose, there's no treasure trove under this city. No sleeping dragon, no secret kingdom. There's just water and mud and darkness. How far do they go? How much? Hold on, we know this, don't we? We know about numbers and figures in today's watch. Imp, he said, turning around. Yes, insert name here. You see that big pile of paper in the corner, said Vimes, pointing. Somewhere in there are the gate guard reports for the past 6 months. Can you compare them with last week's? Can you compare the number of dunny wagons leaving the city? Dunny wagon not found in root dictionary. Searching slang dictionary. Mip, mip, mip. Dunny wagon. N. Cart for carrying night soil. See also honey wagon, treacle wagon, midnight special, gong wagon, and variants, said the imp. That's right, said Vimes, who hadn't heard the midnight special one before. Can you? Oh, yes, said the imp. Thank you for using the disorganizer Mark V, the gooseberry, the most advanced. Yet don't mention it. Just look at the ones for the Hubwards Gate. That's closest to Treacle Street. Then I suggest you stand back, insert name here, said the imp. Why? The imp leapt into the pile. There was some rustling noises, a couple of mice scampered out, and the pile exploded. Vimes backed away hurriedly as papers fountained into the air, borne aloft on a very pale green cloud. Vimes had instigated record-keeping at the gates not because he had a huge interest in the results, but because it kept the lads on their toes. It wasn't as if it was security duty. Ankh-Morpork was so wide open it was gaping, but the cart census was handy. It stopped watchmen falling asleep at their posts, and it gave them an excuse to be nosy. You had to move soil, that was it. This was a city. If you were a long way from the river, the only way to do that was on a cart. Blast it, he thought. I should have asked the thing to see if there's been any increase in stone and timber loads, too. Once you've dug a hole in mud, you've got to keep it open. The circling, swooping papers snapped back into piles. The green haze shrank with a faint zip noise, and there was the little imp ready to burst with pride. An extra 1.1 dunny carts a night over 6 months ago, it announced. Thank you, insert name here. Cogito ergo sum, insert name here. I exist, therefore I do sums. Right, yes, thank you, said Vimes. A bit more than one cart a night. They held a couple of tons maximum. You couldn't make much of that. Maybe people living near that gate have been really ill lately. But what would he do in the dwarf's position? He damn well wouldn't send stuff out of the nearest gate, that's what. Ye gods, if they were tunnelling in enough places, they could dump it anywhere. Imp, could you... Vimes paused. Look, don't you have some kind of a name? Name? Insert name here? Said the imp, looking puzzled. Oh, no. I am created by the dozen, insert name here. A name would be a bit stupid, really. I'll call you Gooseberry, then. So, Gooseberry, can you give me the same figures for every city gate, and also the numbers of timber and stone carts? It will take some time, insert name here, but yes, I should love to. And while you're about it, see if there were any reports of subsidence. Walls falling down, houses cracking, that sort of thing. Certainly, insert name here. You can rely on me, insert name here. Snap to it, then. Yes, insert name here. Thank you, insert name here. I think much better outside the box, insert name here. Zip! The paper started to fly. Well, who'd have thought it, Vimes wondered. Maybe the damn thing could be useful after all. The speaking tube whistled. He unhooked it and said, Vimes! I've got the evening edition of the Times, sir, said the distant voice of Sergeant Littlebottom. She sounded worried. Fine, send it up. And there's a couple of people here who want to see you, sir. Now there was a guarded tone to her voice. And they can hear you, said Vimes. That's right, sir. Trolls. They insist on seeing you personally. They say they have a message for you. Do they look like trouble? Every inch, sir. I'm coming down. Vimes hung up the tube. Trolls with a message. It was unlikely to be an invitation to a literary lunch. Gooseberry, he said. Once again, the faint green blur coalesced into the beaming imp. Found the figures, insert name here. Just working on them, it said, and saluted. Good, but get back in the box, will you? We're going out. Certainly, insert name here. Thank you for choosing the... Vimes pushed the box into his pocket and went downstairs.
The main office included not only the duty officer's desk, but also half a dozen smaller ones where watchmen sat when they had to do the really tricky parts of police work, like punctuating a sentence correctly. A lot of rooms and corridors opened into it. A useful result of all this was that any action there attracted a lot of attention very quickly. If the two trolls very conspicuously in the middle of the room had intended trouble, they'd picked a bad time. It was between shifts. Currently, they were trying without success to swagger whilst standing still, watched with deep suspicion by 7 or 8 officers of various shapes. They'd brought it on themselves. They were bad trolls. At least, they'd like everyone to think so. But they'd got it wrong. Vimes had seen bad trolls, and these didn't come close. They'd tried. Oh, they'd tried. Lichen covered their heads and shoulders. Clan graffiti adorned their bodies. One of them had even had his arm carved, which must have hurt for that stone-cool troll look. Since wearing the traditional belt of human or dwarf skulls would have resulted in the wearer's heels leaving a groove all the way to the nearest nick, and monkey skulls left the wearer liable to ambush by dwarfs with no grounding in forensic anthropology, these trolls... Vimes grinned. These boys had done the best they could with, oh dear, sheep and goat skulls. Well done, boys, that's really scary. It was depressing. The old-time bad trolls didn't bother with all that stuff. They just beat you over the head with your own arm until you got the message. "Well, gentlemen," he said, "I'm Vimes." The trolls exchanged glances through the mats of lichen, and one of them lost.
"Mid a chryso phrase, he wanna see you," said Carved Arm sulkily.
"Is that so?" said Vimes.
"He wanna see you now," said the troll.
"Well, he knows where I live," said Vimes.
"Yeah, he does."
3 words, smacking into the silence like lead. It was the way the troll had said them, a suicidal kind of way. The silence was broken by the steely sounds of bolts being shot home, followed by a click. The trolls turned. Sergeant Detritus was taking the key out of the lock of the watchhouse's big, thick double doors. Then he turned around, and his heavy hands landed on the troll's shoulders. He sighed.
"Boys," he said, "if there was a PhD in being thick, yous wouldn't be able to find a pencil."
The troll who'd uttered the not-very-veiled threat then made another mistake. It must have been terror that moved his arms or dumb machismo. Surely no one with a functioning brain cell would have selected that moment to move their arms into what, for trolls, was the attack position. Detritus's fist moved in a blur, and the crack as it connected with the troll's skull made the furniture rattle. Vimes opened his mouth and shut it again. Trollish was a very physical language, and you had to respect cultural traditions, didn't you? It wasn't only dwarfs who were allowed to have them, was it? Besides, you couldn't crack a troll skull even with a hammer and chisel. And he threatened your family, his hind brain added. He had it coming. There was a twinge of pain from the wound on his hand, echoed by the stab of a headache. Oh, hells, and Igor said the stuff would work. The stricken troll rocked for a second or two and then went over forwards in one rigid movement. Detritus walked across to Vimes, kicking the recumbent figure en passant.
"Sorry about that, sir," he said,
and his hand clanged on his helmet as he saluted.
"They got no manners."
"All right, that's enough," said Vimes, and addressed the remaining, suddenly very alone, messenger. "Why does Chrysophrase want to see me?"
"He wouldn't tell the brothers thick that, would he?"
said Detritus, grinning horribly at the troll. There was no swagger left now.
"All I know is it's about the killing of the Horog," mumbled the troll, taking refuge in surliness.
At the sound of the word, the eyes of every watching dwarf narrowed further. It was a very bad word.
"Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh,"
Detritus hesitated. "Boy," said Vimes, out of the corner of his mouth.
"Boy," said Detritus triumphantly, "you are making friends like nobody's business today."
"Where's the meeting?" said Vimes.
"The Pork Futures Warehouse," said the troll. "You is to come alone."
He paused, awareness of his position dawning on him, and added,
"If you don't mind."
"Go and tell your boss. I might choose to wander that way, will you?" said Vimes. "Now get out of here. Let him out, Sergeant."
"And take your rubbish home with you," Detritus roared.
He slammed the doors behind the troll, bent under the weight of his fallen comrade.
"Okay,"
said Vimes, as tensions relaxed. "You heard the troll. A good citizen wants to help the watch. I'll go and see what he's got to—" His eye caught the front page of the Times spread out on the desk. "Oh, hell," he thought wearily. "There we are, at a time like this, with a troll officer holding a dwarf with his feet off the ground."
"It's a good picture of detritus, sir," said Sergeant Littlebottom nervously.
"The long arm of the law," Vimes read aloud. "Is that supposed to be funny?"
"Probably it is to people who write headlines," said Cheery.
"Ham Crusher murdered," Vimes read. "Watch investigating." "Where do they get this?" he said aloud. "Who tells them? Pretty soon I'll have to read the Times to find out what I'm doing today." He flung the paper back on the desk. "Anything important I need to know about right now?"
"Sergeant Colon says there's been a robbery at the Royal—"
Cheery began, but Vimes waved that away. "More important than robberies, I mean," he said.
Another two officers have quit since I sent you that note, sir," said Cheery. "Corporal Ringfounder and Constable Schist at Chitlin Street. Both say it's for personal reasons, sir."
"Schist was a good officer,"
Detritus rumbled, shaking his head. "Sounds like he decided to be a good troll instead," said Vimes. He was aware of a stirring behind him. He still had an audience. "Oh, well, time for the speech. I know it's hard for dwarf and troll officers right now," he said to the room at large. "I know that giving one of your own kind a tap with your truncheon because he's trying to kick you in a fork might feel like you're siding with the enemy. It's no fun for humans either, but it's worse for you. The badge seems a bit heavy now, right? You see your people looking at you and wondering whose side you're on, yes? Well, you're on the side of the people, which is where the law ought to be. All the people, I mean, who are out there beyond the mob, who are fearful and puzzled and scared to go out at night. Now, funnily enough, the idiots who are out there right in front of you getting their self-defence in first are also the people. But since they don't seem to remember that, well, you're doing them a favour by cooling them off a bit. Hold on to that, and hold together. You think that you should stay home to make sure your old mum is okay? What good would you be against a mob? Together we can stop things going that far. This'll go its course. I know we're all being run ragged, but right now I need everyone I can get, and in return there will be jam tomorrow and free beer too. Maybe I'll even be a little blind when I'm signing the overtime dockets, who knows. Got it? But I want you all, whatever, whoever you are, to know this. I've got no patience with idiots who'll drag a grudge across 500 miles and 1,000 years. This is Ankh-Morpork. It's not Coombe Valley. You know it's going to be a bad night tonight. Well, I'll be on duty. If you are too, then I'll want to know that I can depend on you to watch my back as I'll watch yours."